Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Watching the Rangers currently losing 2-0 to Chicago. Just under 4 minutes left in the second period. Can't get anything offensively going here for the Rangers. We've been playing better as of late, but still have not really hit their stride. And this is on the road where they've been dominant. So see if they can find a way to get back into this game. Currently trailing the Blackhawks 2-0. Outside of that, we really don't have too much going on here in sports. We're waiting for the Knicks to chase the championship, baby. Saturday. Let's go. Saturday out in Vegas. But right now, the baseball controls the narrative as Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz on back-to-back days in what really is two of the blackest days in Met fan history. I mean, this is back-to-back, just brutal, brutal news, especially the Diaz one going to the Dodgers. I know everyone loves Pete Alonso, but for me, Diaz was the guy you can't, it's tougher to replace. And losing him to the Dodgers. Oh. I mean, they signed the best reliever on the market every stinking year. And you can't let him go to the Dodgers. This owner has to know that. He's fighting tooth and nail to make sure Juan Soto doesn't go back to the Yankees. You gotta fight tooth and nail to make sure you don't lose Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers. Oh, brutal. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Don in East Pank with East Yapank. What's up, Don?
How you doing? Once again, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're getting the show. I was a longtime fan of yours on the overnights, on the weekends. Used to call you once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so happy to hear you getting that opportunity. On top of that.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. On top of that, the Met situation, it's dark on so many levels. And I understand. You know, I obviously listen to the fan all day long and people trying to give a positive spin and whatever. But, you know, when new ownership took over, we weren't supposed to see these things happen anymore where in the past they have, whether it was Jose Reyes leaving without an offer, Zach Wheeler leaving without an offer, et cetera, et cetera. And when you have players that can perform in this town, which is not always a given, even when you go out and you get the star players from other areas, you got to keep them, especially when it's a homegrown guy. There's an attachment there. And you're right, losing sucks, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're watching those games, even when you're in a bleak stretch, you have something to root for. You're always going to root for your hometown guys, your favorite guy or whatever. And anybody that thinks that the Mets collapsed last year had to do with Diaz, Alonso, or whatever, really look at the surrounding players that were supposed to step up and perform, and I'm talking about all the younger guys, whether it was Beatty, Vientos, Alvarez, Mauricio. Those guys did nothing for the majority of the season while Pete and Lindor were hot in the beginning, got us off to a great start. Soto finished up like an MVP, and the bottom line is the pieces around them fell apart. And I know you're not going to win or lose a championship by signing one player, but It always seemed like you should do the best job you can to keep those blocks while you're moving around. And I don't understand it on any level. And I hope this guy has a plan, because right now, to your point, the Dodgers are what the Mets are obviously chasing in the National League and the rest of baseball, too. And whatever spin you want to put on it, the Mets, who had a bad down year for them last year, are horribly worse right now and have fell way behind and have now got to play catch-up with these moves that just happened. And I think it's a terrible, terrible look for the organization.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. Right now, the Mets fans are furious. Mets fans are furious. They're a few and far behind. There are very few who are talking about eating broccoli the way Tommy Lugar was. Like, there are very few who are going to talk about how, you know, this is understandable. I wouldn't give Pete Alonso 5 years either. But, like, on the surface, you could point to each one of these things and come up with reasons why. But, I mean, you have to go build a winning baseball team. How do you accomplish that? And it's easy to say you believe in the vision, and I think he's earned the right, I suppose, to let this thing play out. There's no reason you have to let it play out. We said that when they made the Nimmo trade. I'll say that now. You have to see what the end result is. Who knows what's coming? I'm concerned because, as I said, he won't do anything that makes him uncomfortable, and how the hell do you build a team that way? But when the offseason is over and they get ready for spring training, we will see. Because there are still pitchers to be had in the free agent market. There are still pitchers to be had via the trade. There are still outfielders out there, free agent and trade. There are still, they have the ability to go out there and make impact moves. But to lose both of these guys, I mean, the question was, the entire offseason based on these two, and you lost them in back-to-back days, one to the Dodgers and one Pete Alonso. You didn't even make an offer to. Didn't even make an offer to him. Peter in Wausau. What's up, Pete?
Chris, let me just start off saying, I'm 63 years old. I was there for the day that we're living in for me when they traded Tom Seaver.
Right.
I was 13, vowed never to root for the Mets again. Of course, I did. I was 63.
You broke your vow.
Yeah, look, I broke it in June, and I broke it in July of that same. Mm-hmm. So, to let Pete Alonso go, tell me, and on all the callers that I've been on hold saying the same thing, tell me at what point did Pete Alonso cause the Mets to lose 80 games or whatever it is, right? Or mm-hmm. Tell me at what point did Diaz come in and blow 15 saves during the season or at any point since he's been here. And I have no faith. I have no faith in Stearns because he blew it last year at the trade deadline when he could not. He did not want to give up the prospects, I believe. That's the reason why he didn't make whatever he could have made. He got Cedric Mullins. He's got all these guys that are gone. Right now, as it stands, the Mets have two major league players on the roster,
mm-hmm.
Lindor and Soto. And to disrespect Pete Alonso, the guy who literally wears his heart on his sleeve as a Mets fan, and the two homegrown Mets my whole life, Ed Cranepool and David Wright. And I, 2-3 years ago, I would swore Pete Alonso was going to be the next David Wright.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's going to hit his worst year. He'll hit 30 homers, driving 90 RBIs, and hit .235. The guy's going to hit. I don't know. Where is he going? Don't tell me about Bellinger. Don't tell me about Bregman's older than Alonso. I don't know what their plan was because they didn't even go after Schwartz. They didn't even make an offer to a guy that was brought up in this organization. I don't see any light at the end. I don't know. I don't see it.
No, I mean, listen, I understand. I can understand you, and I'm letting you guys really vent here because I get it. It's a frustrating night. It's a frustrating night for Met fans to lose these two players. Again, I don't know how. To me, you can replace Pete Alonso a lot easier. And I shouldn't say a lot easier. I think you replace him easier than the best closer in baseball. Like, that to me is tough to replace. Pete Alonso, you can find guys who hit home runs. You can find guys who could play better defensively and impact your team overall. And, you know, as Brad Pitt said in Moneyball, rebuild him in the aggregate. Like, you can in some ways. The closer is so much tougher. Having that guy at the end to pitch in the ninth and get those last three outs and to do it at the level he was doing it, to me, is harder than finding a way to impact the run total, the run scoring, the run prevention angle from a first baseman in Pete Alonso, who's one of the premier sluggers, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, right now the plan, and what's frustrating too, I would think, and I've talked about this a bunch, off of last year. Last year it felt like, all right, here we go. They're going to finally, after years like of coming into the league, having to bring in Sandy Alderson with him, holding his hand to try and calm the egos of the other owners, saying, look, we're not going to go crazy. I'm not going to go crazy. Look, I brought Sandy Alderson with me. We're going to take it nice and easy. We're going to take it nice and easy. I brought in, you know, one of the pioneers of Moneyball. Don't worry about it. You know, we're not going to go crazy. I'm not here to turn baseball on its head. Meanwhile, the Dodgers have done it since. But from that day till finally, you know, you do bring in Lindor. That was a significant trade and sign, which the Wilpons probably wouldn't have done. And then you gave Max Scherzer that big-time money, $40 million a year. That was kind of a venture into a different element of Mets baseball, which you didn't see prior. But it really felt like the Juan Soto off of that year, having the magical year of 24 when they went on that magical OMG run. And then you add Juan Soto to it. It felt like, well, this is, it's obvious, the plan. The plan is you find pitching through your farm system, and maybe you pick the one right starting pitcher here or there, but they have the pitching lab, and they'll find all the answers to it. They're going to sign the big-time free agents, not the little guys, but the big-time free agents will all be Mets. They've got power. They've got the best closer. They've found a way to build a starting rotation. Look at how great Griffin Canning is doing. Look how great this one's doing and that one's doing. And it felt like there was a plan. And now that pitching lab has fallen apart. The architect of it has been fired. There's no belief in that anymore. I haven't heard pitching lab. It's the first time anyone's uttered that phrase in the last month and a half. More than that, I mean, pitching lab is out the window. That used to be a thing with the Mets, no longer. And now they're not even keeping up their end of the bargain and signing big-time free agents or keeping their own. So it's hard to come up with what the plan is. Because last year they treated it differently. This year they're doing nothing. Matt Rockaway. See, Matt thinks this is part of the average, typical Met plan.
Oh, man. Well, you brought up Moneyball. I want to touch on that. Mm-hmm. Mike used to make a great point. Everyone's, oh, Billy Bean, Moneyball. What did the A's ever win? Nothing. And the organization folded up in due time, too. So Moneyball ain't worth that nothing. It's reinventing the wheel. But to the point of Alonso, it's such a Met move. It's such this classic Wilpon-style pragmatism of going on. The fantasy kind of have guy. I mean, it feels like yesterday it was the decision between Dom Smith and Pete Alonso. Who's going to come up? Who's going to be the next big thing? And actually, they brought up Dom first.
Yeah.
He was waiting in the wing. And Pete's come up and done nothing but be a pro the whole time. Fan favorite, gives you 40 a year. And he left for market value without the market rate, without an offer. That's just unacceptable. Completely unacceptable.
It's hard not to see it that way. He did. That was, like, when you say market value, technically, everyone signs for market value because that ended up being the market. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I don't disagree with you. That was the number for Kyle Schwarber. And Kyle Schwarber and Pete Alonso are the same player. They're the same player. They are the two of the most reliable power hitters in the game. They have flaws to their game. They're not the perfect hitters, but they smash. They hit home runs. They are, you know, extremely dangerous hitters. They drive in runs. They're impact guys. Like, they are the same type of hitter. And he just got from Phillies 5 for $150. The minute that happened, you know the market. And the Mets didn't care to dive in at all. Had no interest in joining that market whatsoever. And that's why I said from the beginning, like, I was on there not bringing back Pete the minute he got off to a good start last year. 100%. Like, I thought they weren't bringing back Pete the entire offseason last year, and now I stand even more firm that I know. Like, we know now David Stearns had no interest in doing it. They got to the point where it was a one-year, $30 million deal, and he couldn't justify not saying yes to that. The owner was probably on him. It's 1 year, $30 million. The fan base is clamoring. What's 1 year? I'll do it. But I don't think he wanted him at all. There was just no market, and it made too much sense. And then he signs, and I was saying from the beginning, the minute he got off to that incredible start, I said the better he plays, the more likely it is he is not signing with the Mets. Because I don't think Stearns wants him, and he's building himself a market. He no longer has the qualifying offer attached to him. He no longer has picks attached to him. He's having a much better year, a much more clutch year. He's going to have a market unlike last year. And the only reason why I got off it, I have to admit, I got off it recently because I thought the Brendan Nimmo trade just set it. It felt like I don't want to do Pete because of this, that, and the other. So let me remove Nimmo because it helps with this, that, and the other. Like, I viewed it as 100% as that. I was wrong, but I viewed it as that. Oh, I don't want to pay him the fourth and fifth year. Let me get rid of $20 million a year in that fourth and fifth year. Oh, he's bad defensively at first base. Let me get him an excellent Gold Glove caliber second base right next to him. Oh, he has to DH a lot. Let me make sure I don't have Nimmo who might be eating DH time. Like, it just felt like that was the move to make Pete tolerable. So that's when I got off and I said, you know what? I think they're going to sign Pete because this move tells me they are. But nope. It was what I thought from the beginning. They never had interest in Pete Alonso. There was just no market for him last year, and it made too much sense. And this year, the second someone ponied up and offered to give him more than three, they were out. They weren't entertaining it. They weren't talking about it. There's no internal discussions. There's nothing. Oh, you got four? Go have a great career, Pete. Thank you for everything you've done. Bottom line. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Chris, 59 years ago today, the Mets traded their very first homegrown ball player. Ron Hunt was traded for Tommy Davis. But that turned out good because then we traded Tommy Davis for Tommy Agee. But this whole thing now of letting homegrown guys go for nothing. Mm-hmm. They didn't get anything. That's unbelievable. You know, you look back at the old days, Willie Stargell, Boog Powell, Harmon Killebrew. These guys were aging first basemen, but they managed. I don't understand. All of a sudden now, a first baseman can't get better fielding-wise. And you know, another thing people have not brought up all day on the Fan. This guy can hit at Citi Field. It's a hard ballpark to hit in. You can't come here and just hit. There are very few players that come. Rusty Staub, Mike Piazza. Very few guys come here and hit. This guy can hit at Citi Field. That doesn't mean you're going to get a guy to replace Alonso that can hit. You know, he may hit 320 somewhere else. Let's see what he could do at Citi Field. Not that easy. Chris, I want to make one quick point on the Knicks. I know you're going to talk about the Knicks later. I like the Knicks team. I wouldn't touch them, and this is the reason why. They've got four defensive players on their team.
Right.
And in this day and age, you know, OG, McHale, Josh, and Mitchell, no team except, as far as I can see, maybe I'm wrong, except OKC has four guys who can play defense. And these guys, and you know, with Brunson as a volume scorer, with Cat as a scorer, I think they're set up as long as they don't have injuries, in theory. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win and all, but you got to give it a chance. You got to let it percolate. You can't just disrupt this team. I don't care for what. I mean, Giannis is nice, but I'm not breaking this up. The way they have it set up now, they got the coach. They like the coach. You got to give it a year at least.
It's a tough one. Because I hear what you're saying, and right now they're playing really well. And when they have the ball moving and they're hitting their threes, right, and OG Anunoby's back and the defense has been much better and they have Mitchell Robinson in there to defend the rim and, you know, everything is working, they look like a well-oiled machine. And right now, going through this tournament, let's be honest, do I care about the tournament? Nope, don't care at all. But we know the players do, and they're going through the East like a hot knife through butter so far. Now they have to go play Orlando, who has given them problems. They took care of them the last time they faced them. But Orlando has been a tough team for the Knicks. This is going to be an interesting game. But you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, I don't think there is a doubt in my mind, right? The Pistons have played really well, right? There's no doubt the Pistons have played really well. And we remember from the postseason last year that the Pistons are a dangerous team. Cunningham is an up-and-coming superstar in this league. They have talent. They're tough. They're physical. They're well-coached. They are a dangerous team. Excuse me, still dealing with a cough. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind the Knicks are the best team in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics have kind of been rising through the ranks here. They're playing really well. They've won 5 in a row, 8 of 10. So have the Knicks. But you look around. The Knicks are the best team in the East. We all will be very disappointed if the New York Knicks don't make it to the NBA Finals. But here's the question. When they get there, they are most likely going to play a team that is 23-1. Or a team with three, when you include LeBron, even at this age, three superstars right now with the Los Angeles Lakers. Or the Denver Nuggets with one of the best players in the NBA with Jokic. Or the Rockets, who are extremely talented as well at 15-6. Like, they are absolutely loaded at the top of the West, including a team that, again, is 23-1 defending champs with the reigning MVP on their team. Are they good enough to beat the Thunder? Are they good enough to beat the Lakers? Are they good enough to win an NBA championship? I don't know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, and in no other sport like the NBA can you look at it in that way. Like, you, even as I'm watching the Rangers right now, you can't look at it in the Stanley Cup playoffs and say, you can't base that decision now and say, is this team, Rangers, Devils, whomever, Oilers, I don't care, whatever team, are they good enough to beat this team? Are they good enough to beat that team? In hockey, it's different. Baseball, same thing. I mean, on some level, right, we're all going to point to the Dodgers. You're good enough to beat the Dodgers. But we all saw the Blue Jays were in last place last year. And they were two outs away from beating the Dodgers in Game 7 in their building. But basketball feels like the one sport where you could literally look at the Knicks right now and say, are they good enough in a 7-game series to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder? And if the answer is no, don't you have to be open to doing whatever it takes to make the answer yes? And I don't know, Giannis is... Like, whether it's Giannis or Anthony Davis, like even Anthony Davis right now, I know he can't stay healthy. I know it's a risk. And if he gets hurt, you're talking about not getting through the East. But if he's healthy, Are they a better team with Anthony Davis as opposed to Cat? I mean, they might be. I think they are. I think I give that team a better chance to win the NBA championship. It's not easy because right now everything's going well. You want to give it a year, fine. But I am open to changes because I don't know if I look at this team and say NBA champion yet. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Get more into the Yankees. Continue to take your med calls. Football. We can go around the league a little bit in a big, big week. And again, the questions for me about I have been put in, I think, Giant fans, as we discuss all day long today, all day long yesterday, the tough position that the Met fans find themselves in today, having not only a team you don't believe can win, but losing faith in an ownership group and an executive that you had immense faith in just a year ago. But I would argue that the Giant fan right now, and maybe you guys feel different, a lot of Giant fans, you can call me up, 888-808-1019. I think the Giant fan is in a position right now that is as tough a position as you can be in. The Giants have made us. Hey, like, they have put us in a position that I can't stand, and I am so anxious about Sunday. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Be right back. As we found out, Brian Cox was fired over dispute about seating assignments on the plane ride home from the ugly loss against the New England Patriots. Like, it never ends. It never ends. We're firing coaches based on they didn't like where they were sitting on the plane ride home after getting their asses kicked. This team is such a disaster in so many different ways. I mean, they just need to clean house. It's everybody needs to go. Everybody needs to go. But we're still evaluating. Still evaluating. And this is what also makes it tough. Because the GM is still being evaluated. If you can believe that. That if somehow the Giants beat the Washington Commanders without Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota as the starting quarterback. If somehow the Giants win that game, if somehow the Giants beat the Vikings, who just absolutely torched the Commanders last week, if they somehow beat the Raiders, who got one of the luckiest covers I've ever seen in my that's one of the best covers I've ever had in my life. We went over that Monday morning. That Raider game was crazy against the Broncos. But if they somehow beat the lousy Raiders, somehow, if they win some games down the stretch, we're going to like say, all right, I guess it's not a disaster. Joe Shane can stay. I don't understand it at all. There should be no more evaluating of Joe Shane. What the hell are you going to learn? They're awful. They're 2-11. They have the number one pick in the draft. They're firing coaches because they're fighting over chairs. They fired everybody else already. But there needs to be evaluating. Same thing with the Jets. Oh, you can't play Brady Cook. You can't lose these football games. You gotta evaluate your first year head coach, please. Such garbage. There's no evaluating left, particularly for a general manager with 4 weeks to go of a 2-11 season. It's absolutely obnoxious. I want him to go, but quite honestly, if they're making decisions based on the last 4 weeks, I almost find that more offensive. Like, if they haven't made up their minds and then they lose these four games and then they decide to fire him, I'm almost going to be like, "What? That's almost worse. It's almost worse that this ownership group is still looking at this general manager under the guise of, well, let's see how it plays out. It's 2-11. Let's see how it plays out. Show me something, Joe. Show me something. Drives me absolutely up a wall. And now the Giants are in a very unique situation. And this is, I mean, this cuts right to the core of tanking. And if you don't know, if you're not a fan of mine, if you don't listen to me at 3:30 in the morning, if not, I don't know, you know, sleep is overrated, as I've tried to tell myself for 2.5 years. You know that I'm a tanker. Hi, my name is Chris McMonagle, and I am a tanker. I believe once a season is dead, unfortunately, because of the rules that are presented by the NFL, you're in your best interest as a franchise, most likely under almost all circumstances, is to lose for the better draft pick. I don't think a winning culture can be built when a team is 2-11. I don't think the Jets beating Atlanta means a damn thing, as we saw with the follow-up performance against the Miami Dolphins. Like, the idea that the momentum and winning culture didn't carry a week, let alone carry through the offseason to next year. But herein lies the problem with the New York Giants, because I am a tanker. And last year, it was very easy for me with Drew Locke as the quarterback to say, lose, baby, lose. It was very easy. It was very easy. The season was over. It was dead. They needed a quarterback. Go lose. You had the first pick heading into the Colts game last year, and that's when the Giants and Drew Locke decided to play a wonderful football game and absolutely destroy the Colts, and Malik Nabers had an incredible game, and they avoided going 0-9 at home last year in the 100th year of the football team, and everybody was really happy about it. And to be fair, and even I admit that sometimes luck will change, they were able to get Abdul Carter and find their quarterback later in the draft. I still don't view that as proof that tanking is the wrong thing. I think the Giants got lucky. And you can't go into the draft hoping that other teams pass on the best quarterbacks or hoping that something falls your way. You can't hope that the other teams in front of you are stupid and that you will get lucky. I want as many players in the pool of players to pick from as possible. That's a distinct advantage. Winning these games is no advantage. So now that you know how I feel about it, you would think, well, it's very easy, Chris, because here you are again. Here we are again with the New York Giants with the number one pick. But in this iteration of it, they don't need the quarterback. They have Jackson Dart. And that almost makes it more exciting because you know teams like the Jets, teams like the Saints, teams like the Raiders are going to be looking for a quarterback. And it just so happens that Mendoza, the quarterback of Indiana, put on a virtuoso performance in the second half to win the Big Ten championship and beat the defending champion Ohio State Buckeyes, to clearly put him at the forefront of the number one pick and the franchise quarterback everybody's going to be clamoring for. And if the New York Giants are lucky enough to hold on to that first pick, they are going to get an absolute haul of picks. But herein lies the problem. I want Jackson Dart to play well. I think it's important for Jackson Dart to play. I think every rep his rookie season, every game his rookie season, every drive, every defense throwing different things at him. The Vikings play a different kind of football, right? Their defensive coordinator, who a lot of people think should be the next Giant head coach, although he's suing the team. Like, he throws a lot of different blitz packages. He has a lot of disguises. It's important to go play that game and learn from it. It's important. And theoretically, I do believe that you can build with a young quarterback and actually get belief in him as a winner. Not the team as a winner. Not even the coach as a winner, although you can say maybe a little bit about that, but not really. More about the quarterback, that the team can buy around him as a winner and a winning player. So I'm going to turn on the TV this Sunday at 1 o'clock. And I honestly don't know what I'm rooting for. And I hate the Giants for putting me in that position. I hate them for it. I hate them for making me hate myself. Because unlike previous years, at the very least, they were so bad and in such a bad position that it was really easy. But right now, I don't think they're bad. I actually think they're the best damn two-win team I've ever freaking seen. I think there's some pretty good players. I think the quarterback is in place. Next year, you're going to have Neighbors. Next year, you're going to have Scadaboo. I saw a clip of him walking into the building on his own 2 feet. I think this team can be good real quick. And I want as many first-round picks as possible, and getting that first overall pick could be huge for this team. But I want to see the quarterback play well. And I hate that we are back in this position. Both football teams rooting for losses. The disaster that are these two teams. It's unbelievable. But the Giants have put you in a unique position where you want to go see Jackson Dart play well. You want to have him learn how to slide, learn how to take care of himself. Go out there and prove he's a winner. Go out there and prove he knows how to win games and go down the field in the last drive and put the ball in the end zone and get a win. That all sounds wonderful and great, except it'll probably knock him out of the first-round pick. I think they could win three of these games. I think they could beat the Commanders, Vikings, and Raiders. And then they'll be picking ninth, and they won't be in the same position they could be if they were able to turn the screws on the Jets and ask for two or three first-round picks. Like, that's possible! I hate this team. 888-808-1019. Right now, we're all haters. Right now, every one of us, except maybe the Knicks and the Islander, right? The Islander fan right now is probably riding high. Schaefer's been great. They're on a little bit of a streak here. But outside of that, every single Met fan is furious at the Mets. Every single Yankee fan, myself included right now, has no idea what they're doing in this offseason. Even as positive as I can be, and as much of a defender of Cashman and Hal as I am, I have no idea what's going on this offseason. None. So I'm not happy. No one's happy with the Yankees. No one's happy with the Mets. No one's happy with the Giants. No one's happy with the Jets. I mean, it's freaking misery everywhere you turn in this town. I heard Joe Beningo and Evan talking about parades today. Parades? I don't know where the hell a parade's coming from. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Dave in Westchester. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Chris, congratulations on the new assignment, sir. You've earned it, sir.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You jumped on to the Giants. I'm in the same boat as you. I want to see Jackson Dart get as much positive out of these last four games as he can because it's only going to help him and hopefully attract some free agents. Now, you talk about Shane. Who's evaluating him? I think he got away. He got rid of Dable.
Yeah.
Who's evaluating Shane? Because I don't think people realize Mr. Mara, God bless him, pray for him. He's not as healthy as we hope he would be. Because I don't know who's evaluating Shane. Who's going to make that call?
I don't know who is exactly, but I can tell you from reports from, you know, especially Connor Hughes has been on this. There is the idea, and Joe Shane even said it in his press conference that the organization is going to evaluate everybody, myself included, as they should, you know, the whole thing. And Connor Hughes has reported that, you know, he better win some football games because if they only win two games, he doesn't see how the Giants can bring him back. And I just have a real tough time because I agree with you. I don't know who is necessarily evaluating him, whether it's John Mara, whether it's Tisch, whoever is evaluating him. The idea that they still are is absolutely dumbfounding to me. That they have lost 7 straight games. They are 2-11. They are the number one pick in the NFL draft. They were awful last year. They were awful the year before that. And we still haven't made up our minds about Joe Shane. We have fired the head coach. They still lose. We have fired the defensive coordinator. They still lose. Now we're firing defensive line coaches because he didn't like where he sat on the plane. They still stink. Everybody has been held accountable, as people like to say, except Joe Shane. But the last four games of the year still need to define whether or not Joe Shane needs to be held accountable. That is, like, that makes me madder that he's still here. I'm not kidding. I want him gone, no doubt. But I am less mad that he's still here and that there is a good chance he will be back next year. That annoys me less. That makes me less frustrated. That pisses me off less than the idea that they are going to use these four games to make that decision. That bothers me more. That's incompetence. That's stupidity. And it works both ways. How much more do you need to see? Negative. Like, you need to see another 3 or 4 losses before you make up your mind? That's absolutely astounding to me. Or somehow he can save his job with 3 or 4 wins against the dregs of the NFL down the stretch of a 2-11 season? How in the world is that possible? The idea that it's still up for debate annoys me more than I disagree with the decision to keep him. I would rather them have, if their mind is they want to keep him, but he could make it worse the last few weeks, just keep him. If you feel right now you want to keep him, then just keep him. That makes me, I'm less annoyed by that than I am at the idea that you could actually think you can learn something. And if you think you can learn something, you're an idiot. I know there's always room to learn. There's always room for Jello. I get it. But I'm sorry. If you think that you can learn something about the general manager in the last 4 weeks of a 2-11 season, you're an idiot. There's nothing to learn. It's been decided. Jay in New Jersey. What's up, Jay?
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo.
You're 100% right.
I am 100%.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
100% right.
You're 100% right.
I'm 100% right. I'm 100% right.
They know what they already know. They're actually a good team with a bad record. This is a unique position. They can get the first pick in the draft with good assets. They need a new GM, a new coach. Turn that first pick in the draft into multiple areas of need. And run from there. They're in a unique position. Not many teams get to do this. They're actually a decent team with a bad record.
I agree with that.
Bad coaching. Bad GM. Take this. The owner needs to realize this. They're going to learn nothing in the last four games. Nothing. They already know what they know. GM is terrible. Coach is terrible. They have good players in key positions. Take that first pick in the draft. Turn it into multiple areas of need and run from there. Not many teams get to do this.
No, I know. It is a unique situation, man. I am if you say to me the Giants have the first pick in the draft, I am pumped. I am pumped. But it's against the idea of Jackson Dart not playing well or not figuring out a way to win. Like, I do want to build with him. I do want to, like, Eli Manning winning that last game of the year against the Cowboys meant something. It did. It meant something. I can't just dismiss that. But I do want the first pick bad, because they're going to get a haul for it. Anthony in Mayopac. What's up, Anthony? Anthony!
Hey, C-Mac. Long time.
Long time something or other, yeah.
David Stearns. First time, long time. I got to talk to you about this clown, David Stearns.
Yes.
I got a few questions. First one is, Steve Cohen has yet to give a homegrown player, aside from the disgusting trade he made to Brandon Nimmo, more like he offered Kyle Schwarber 3 years, 120. He offered Trevor Bauer more money than Jacob DeGrom. He offered Justin Verlander more money than Jacob DeGrom. He offered Max Scherzer more money than he ever offered Jacob DeGrom.
Mm-hmm.
The list goes on and on and on. How he let Pete Alonso walk, Steve Cohen, is besides myself. How he ever hired this buffoon David Stearns is absolutely besides. I can't even fathom. This guy is the all-time home run leader. All he gets up there and do with his stupid smirk on his face and says, you know, I grew up a Mets fan. I want to, you know, I want to keep Mets. We value that. We know our fans are connected to these players. How many times can you say that and then not keep anyone? Why is he the smartest guy in the room all of a sudden?
Yeah.
I think Steve Cohen was played, and to just let Pete Alonso walk without an offer, I mean, we could have just kept Jeff Wilpon at that point. This is absolute insanity.
Man, the Met fan is just so furious right now. It is unbelievable. I mean, I'm going strong. I don't even want to divert from it because I'm getting. I mean, the phone lines are full. Man, the Met fans are pissed. Steve, buddy, if you're listening, Steve, I don't know what you're doing driving around looking for silver toilets. I don't know what you're doing. Going to see if you could buy a Jackson Pollock somewhere. To turn it into a bed sheet, whatever you're going to do with it. The Met fan is furious. Furious. And it's such a weird, because I can tell you as a Yankee fan, right? And plus doing this, so just getting the feel for the fan base on a nightly basis or an early morning basis. It was so different a year ago. I will never forget, right? I did the Rico Bronya podcast with Evan just the other day, Sunday night. And it was the anniversary. I did the Evan Roberts, Rico Bronya podcast last year where he wanted to do the Met-Yankee trade thing that we do every year. And I remember telling him, like, I got on him, like, you know this is stupid, right? Like, this is just dumb. There's no reason to be doing this podcast right now. Like, everyone is expecting, it was the first day of the winter meetings, and everyone was expecting Juan Soto to sign. Like, that was the report. Juan Soto is signing tonight. And I'm like, you want me to talk about how I can come up with a package to give you for David Robertson? Like, is that really what we're going to talk about while the entire baseball world is waiting for Juan Soto to make a decision between the Mets and Yankees? And you want to talk about how I can come up with a reason or a package to give you for David Robertson? Like, it's just so stupid. So we ended up doing the Juan Soto watch party. And I was with him for a while. And then, like, I had to get ready for my show I was going to go on that night, I think. And I literally signed off. I said, listen, I got to go. I was on him with an hour and a half. If he signs tonight and I'm not doing the show, I'll pop back on. And it must have been 15 minutes later. 15 minutes later, him, Sal, Hav, Loogie, they're all having this watch party. Juan Soto signs with the Mets. I go back on. I take my medicine. I eat my crow. I sit there and watch every other Met fan celebrate, all these Met fans celebrate at my expense. And I can tell you at that moment, every Met fan felt on top of the world. And rightfully so. And rightfully so. But the Met fan could not have been happier. Could not have been happier with the owner. Could not have been happier with Stearns. Could not have been happier with the team. Could not have been happier that they were the team to beat in the division, in the city. The whole thing, coming off a run to the NLCS, the Met fan was on cloud nine. And today, they are furious. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. What a turnaround. 888-808-1019. Quick break update. This time, I am sure. 3 hours down, two more to go. We got you all the way till midnight. The voice is feeling good. It's going strong. Might even sing a little bit. We'll see. 888-808-1019. More of your Met calls. Giant calls. Yankee calls. I tried to talk Yankees. Yankee fans don't even want in. It's a Met night. Let's go. McMonagle here with you for another 2 hours as we ride along all the way to midnight right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.